go through this. All right. This is just calling this soul trends, warming and cooling, and I think we kind of know this anyway, but it's nice to know there's a solution. And so I'm just saying advances in technology have added a new life tension. It's called overwhelming immediacy. Sensory overload creates demands for new levels of interaction with near infinite sources of information. And one area of concern for us here is a Jesus disciple's soul state. The Great Commission is still calling for full-fledged participation, but unless there is attention to the interior life of a disciple, the soul, there can be apathy, burnout, depression, or worse. And for those of us in the know, I mean, we just see so many Christian leaders going through these kind of things, and you wonder, how could this happen? You hear of some catastrophic thing that happens in ministry to somebody, and you think, how could they possibly get there? You know, well, if we're not attending to the interior life, the enemy really takes advantage of that and makes sure that we're basically running on air and there isn't anything in there to hold us when times get rough. And I think that's on the increase just because of how much is available to us and what's demanded of us. And so it's an issue that I think we often think soul care. I mean, Phil Strout, our national director, has had a mentor for years, an older man, who would say to him, they would meet once a month, and his first question was always, with a very deep radio announcer-type voice, go, Phil, how is your soul? And then he'd just wait. And he was waiting for a response. And Phil said, you know, I remember him telling us that sometimes he would just try to fill the silence because he was so uncomfortable. And so he'd try to fill it up with all kinds of stuff that he was doing and how he was excited. And the guy just kept looking at him kind of deadpan until Phil realized that he was just trying to fill the air with words. And the guy was really wondering, how is your soul? And Phil says, it took me a while to figure out how to dig deep enough to figure out what was going on there. And I think that's our problem as well. The busyness, the many, many things that we get involved in sometimes just overwhelm and the soul loses out. So in the Psalms, in Psalm 42, there's this great psalm that was written for us that some of it we're very familiar with, but as we read through it, look at the awareness on the part of the psalmist, the awareness of his soul condition. So in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And I think if we stop and think, and we'll do a short exercise on that this morning, but I think if we just stop and say, where is, you know, what is the condition of my soul? What am I feeling? What am I going through? What's the reality? Instead of just gutting it out day after day, just showing up at appointments, getting the things done that need to get done. But here's the psalmist just looking in and going, wow, my soul is really down. What's the deal here? And so he really encourages himself. And you know, the psalm that starts off with, Praise the Lord, O my soul. I mean, he's giving a commandment to his soul to get out of the mess that it's gotten itself into and praise the Lord. I mean, turn this around. You can't stay there. I won't allow you to stay in that position. And so, and throughout Scripture, you know, a great exercise, especially through the Psalms, is going through and the many times the psalmists have addressed the condition of their soul. And they're aware of what's going on in there. And so I think that's a really important an important aspect for us in 2013 and moving forward, especially as we take on the responsibilities that God gives us for the advancing of the kingdom, that we'd not just say, oh, well, whatever he asks me to do, I can do it. You know, there is also a cost, and we need to make sure that the inner life matches the outer, and we're not going ahead of what God is asking us. And when Mark Fields was speaking to us Thursday night at the conference, and he said one of the things he's recognized is, he says, I realize now that I stop listening to God long before God is done talking. And he says one time in particular, he spent some time praying or whatever, and he felt like the Lord had answered. So he'd get up to leave, you know, with gratitude, and he just felt the Lord say, I'm not done. And he says, oh, so he sat back down to pay attention to really what God wanted to continue saying. And some of these ideas, some of these things are ancient. Some of these things have come from many years ago. And one of the people who was the most eloquent, I guess, in expressing what he considers the movement of the soul, you know, we're calling it warming and cooling, but Ignatius of Loyola, if you've read anything by him from the 15th, 16th century, he refers to warming as consolation. And this is in Ignatius' words when he talks about what consolation is. He says, I call it consolation when the soul is aroused by an interior movement which causes it to be inflamed with the love of its creator and Lord, and consequently can love no created thing in this world for its own sake, but only in the creator of all things. I call consolation any increase of faith, hope, and charity, and any interior joy that calls and attracts to heavenly things and to the salvation of one's soul, inspiring it with peace and quiet in Christ our Lord. And so what I see as the, you know, our soul warming, we warm to things. It's an awareness of God in all things, and an excitement and a real sense of zeal that bubbles up as we are moving toward the warmer place, and our soul is being warmed. And so, certainly, that was my experience this week in the conference. I think Keith and Tammy and Jeff felt that as well throughout the conference. This Keith was talking this morning, and it stirs our soul to want to be in contact with God, and it stirs the love and the charity and the kindness, and it builds our faith because we're moving in that direction toward Him. And what I'm calling the cooling of our souls, Ignatius called desolation. And he says, I call desolation all that is contrary to consolation, as darkness of soul, turmoil of the mind, inclination to low and earthly things, restlessness resulting from many disturbances and temptations which lead to loss of faith, loss of hope, loss of love. It is also desolation when a soul finds itself completely apathetic, tepid, sad, and separated, as it were, from its Creator and Lord. For just as consolation is contrary to desolation, so the thoughts that spring from consolation are the opposite of those that spring from desolation. And that's, you know, I mean, as you read those words, even though that's 16th century and it's a little tougher to get through, I think we all, if we stop and think about it, our souls do that. I mean, do we ever find ourselves just like so depleted and sad, and not sad and depressed necessarily, but just not really energized, not really enthusiastic? And so, you know, that's what he called the desolation. That's what I refer to as the cooling of our soul. We're moving away. We're allowing the disturbances and the temptations to take over. And then we just find ourselves apathetic, and it's like, oh, that's no big deal. And of course, you know, one of the things that would happen is we move away from prayer. We move away from the family of God. We stop fellowshipping in church. And then, you know, it just gets Have you ever noticed how easy it is to get out of the habit of going to church and get out of the habit of being with people of faith and, you know, all of that? And I think that's that movement, that cooling movement. And the enemy loves that because he sees that direction. He knows it's a destructive direction. And then the opposite is when we're encouraged and when we see things happening and we see God responding to us and we see his power. And as our young people were going out with Jit and Joe just a week ago and seeing God at work and asking if they could pray for people and people saying yes and seeing healings and seeing people being restored by in their faith, that's an exciting thing. And you realize God's at work. He really is at work. He is real. He's really doing something. And that encourages our faith. That builds us up and makes us want to do more. And makes us to the point where we don't care if we get kicked out of stores and hospital emergency rooms and all the rest of it. We're just thinking God's at work and we want to be where he is and we want to be doing what he's doing. And so we have soul trends. We all do. And we all move in and out of these times when we're encouraged and the times that we're not encouraged at all. And so one of the things that Ignatius began is what he calls it, his word for it is the daily examine. So at the end of the day, instead of forgetting what we're really all about, to say at the end of our day, go through these five things. And so I'd like us to look in, you know, what I'm calling soul care. He calls it daily examine, just a looking back at the day. And so even though we're not at the end of the day, let's just do a brief version of this morning. So the first one, the first step in soul care, he's recommending at the end of the day, but we can even look, even though we're not even halfway through our day yet, the first thing is stillness. And it's becoming aware of the presence of God, quieting our hearts and listening. And in this moment where he says, become present to Jesus. So let's just take even 30 seconds, and let's try that. Let's quiet our hearts, let's listen, and become present to what Jesus is saying. That was a long time. You're thinking, good grief, how long is this going to keep going? That just shows we're not in the habit of quieting ourselves like that and focusing in. The other thing is, if you weren't able to focus, if you're, you know, the minute we, you know, got quiet, if you closed your eyes and whatever, if your mind went in 100 directions at once and you're just, you know, trying to figure out how to calm all of that down, that again just shows how hard it is to focus in, how hard it is to quiet our hearts and say, okay, here's the most important thing. So he's recommending that at the end of each day. The second step is gratitude. Review the day with gratitude. Seeing through a lens of thanks, appreciate God's gifts in each event of the day. So let's take just a few seconds now, even just for this part of the day, from the time we get up this morning till now. Let's see through a lens of thanks. Appreciate God's gifts in each event up until now. Okay, let's take a few minutes. Let us a few seconds to do that. If it's been a rough morning, it's hard to be thankful. And if there have been things that went wrong or didn't happen the way they were supposed to, it makes it more of a challenge. But working on this attitude of gratitude as we work through. Number three, the third thing is reflection. It says, become aware of your emotions. Ladies, you probably have an easier time in this than the guys do. But he's just saying, review your positive and negative feelings. And did you choose Jesus' way in each situation? So your emotions as you faced various things, both positive and negative, did you choose Jesus' way in each situation? So let's take a few seconds and ponder our emotions. often talked about Sunday morning being one of the most conflicted days on a Christian's calendar, because the enemy wants to distract us, and he wants our soul to cool before we come to worship. And so there's usually a lot of distraction in there, whether you're all by yourself getting ready or you have multiple people depending on you or you're depending on them. So just being aware of those emotions is an important thing. This fourth one, joy and sorrow. Choose one feature of the day and pray about that. So rejoice in a success, for example, or ask forgiveness for sin. And if necessary, plan to make amends for the sin. So the joy and sorrow, what were the events up from the time you get up this morning till now? Joy and sorrow. And just focus on one thing and pray about that. Last thing, five, is hope. Look toward tomorrow. Move toward expectation. Ask God to shine light on tomorrow's path and resolve to grow. So as we would close this out, if this were at the end of the day and we're going through these steps, regardless of what today has been, we've kind of already worked our way through the reflecting and the good and the bad of the day, but resolve in the evening to look forward to tomorrow with expectation, because we know the Holy Spirit's going to be there with us. And, you know, Sunday night often is followed by Monday morning, which is not the favorite time of the year or week or whatever for people. But if we determine at the end of the day that regardless of what events we know are for tomorrow, if we look forward with expectation and asking God to shine his light on tomorrow, on our tomorrow, and on the path that we have, and then resolve to grow through it, to stay fixed in him, and then as we walk through the day, regardless of the good or the bad things we've got there, to resolve to stay focused and to see the Holy Spirit is present there. So these five simple steps and this little booklet that they gave us is available. It's called How Is Your Soul? And it just gives a little few more details, of course, going through the booklet on how to use the booklet and kind of get in this rhythm of, at the end of every day, kind of walking through your day and just refocusing on the things that God is doing, what he's asking of us. And so finding out how our soul is, just taking stock. Maybe we've never done it, never even thought about it. It's like, I don't know how my soul is doing. What's that mean? And I think it's a really good thing moving forward. I think it strengthens us. So when the unexpected stuff comes after at us, we're not totally unprepared. We're not totally unaware that those things can happen. And we've created this day for the Lord that we want to walk with him in it. And I think it strengthens us and builds our faith. And as we're in the habit of doing it, especially as a family, recognizing that there are soul trends, that we have warming times and cooling times, but I think the goal is to shorten up those cooling times as much as possible, being aware of them, and move toward the warming, and move toward having our faith built up again. And as we move forward, I do believe that God has a lot more that he wants us to do, but he needs us to be mature and built up in the things of our faith, so that we can be effective. This one verse out of Ephesians, as we close up here this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. That's what we want to be doing. And so it's an ongoing process for us. So let's close this morning. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us with this. So Holy Spirit, we know that there are movements of our soul. We know we have warming periods and cooling periods. But keeping us aware, keeping us close to the Father's heart. Keep reminding us and helping us to remind ourselves of who we are and who we are in you and what you've done and what you are doing. And the fact that your faithfulness is renewed every morning toward us and you never run out. And so regardless of what we face, regardless of what we undertake for the kingdom or just in our own families and in our own jobs, you're there and that you're more than enough. And that we are provided for in you. We are not alone. This is not something that is an hour-long activity on a Sunday morning and we just hope against hope that it sustains us through to the next week. But this is a moment-by-moment activity. This is where we really find you. This is where we are centered in you and encouraged by you. So Holy Spirit, come. We come here every Sunday, for those of us who come regularly, and we know that every week we're at different areas, and our souls are in different trends, and sometimes we're on top of things, and it's wonderful, and we know you're faithful and good, and you've done everything we need. And then there are weeks we just barely make it here, and we know that we're in trouble, and we know that our souls aren't in good shape, and we're here just barely out of habit, and we're barely hanging on. It's the Holy Spirit. You've called us together as a family, and we want to be those who would encourage one another. Because life is not kind sometimes, and the world is not kind. And then we have our own nature, our old nature that we have to fight against sometimes, and our own laziness and all the other things. And so as we come together, we want to be a community that continues to look after each other's souls as well. We want to be a source of encouragement and love. We want your light to shine on our lives, and we want to be conscious of the fact that you're there, and you're calling us back to your heart from wherever we've gone, whatever waywardness has come or whatever weariness has overtaken us. So if you're here and you're in need of just getting reoriented in any way, any of these, whether it's you want the warming or you know you're in a cooling or whatever, that let's pray for one another. So let's come. We got room at the front. Let's come and let's do that. These are serious issues, I think, and these are the things that God wants to meet us, and He wants to be our source. So if you're sensing that, let's just come and let's pray together here this morning. With us this morning. Thank you for the beginning of a journey toward you, toward the warming of our souls and awareness of your presence and how much you love us as much as we mess up. In such a short time each day, we can have our focus on you and we can know that you're at work, and we know that regardless of what we face, you can be there with us and you can meet us, and you're more than enough. So we bless you for this day. Thank you for this week ahead. We do look forward with expectation to what your Spirit will do and how you will direct us. So thank you for guiding us and keeping us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Sunday.